irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, October 20th, and I'm here with Rachel.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm always here with Rachel, folks.
Hi.
We're here to entertain, inform, and maybe send you back to sleep.
This week was like, you know when you get in your routine and you have your sleep schedule,
right.
And then just like life happens to you. You have responsibilities, and then it's like, okay, you have to start all over again. Like my eating schedule is off, or what routine, my sleep, my workout. I'm holding it together. Hi.
Welcome. So what's keeping you so busy? I mean, you've been doing shows.
Yeah,
stuff, right?
I had. Well, it's just I'm really just like pushing hard with my comedy. I had good shows this week, really good shows this week. So I just want to keep the momentum going. I have another show on Sunday in Burbank at Flappers. And then I got asked to host the Pretty Funny Women show at the Comedy Store next Wednesday in
really?
La Jolla. So I'm stoked about that. It's going to be an all... I wish you could come.
When is
it's
it?
It's next Wednesday in La Jolla at the La Jolla Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And I'm like so honored because Lisa's never asked me to host a show before.
That's very
but
good.
But it's been a year since I started doing comedy. So, and then... I went to a mic last night with my friend Vanessa. You met Vanessa. We had her on last week. And that was really good. And we had plans to go to the Magic Castle.
Uh-huh.
That
didn't happen.
And then we get back to her apartment and her car wouldn't start. We thought it had ran out of gas. So we, on Sunset at 11 o'clock at night, took a gas casket from the maintenance workers in the downstairs of her garage and walked like blocks, which is in LA is huge. You know, at 11 o'clock at night, you're walking past like
the girls
or the strip club, like, you know, El Compadre. My friend looks like a Victoria's Secret model. And, you know, those streets at that night is just like tons of chaos going on or whatever.
Good.
So that was interesting. And I was hangry. On top of it, we were like trying to go get tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, good night. It was a good night. I got to do a mic, so.
Good. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're talking about walking at night and stuff and the danger that women face. And I was thinking the other day, one of our shows here, the host and her husband met these two young girls at the Flyaway. They just arrived into town. Apparently, they had an Airbnb reservation. They go there, and there's guys there in the place. So this is not what they settled for. And I don't know. They ended up leaving and taking a hotel. But that host and her husband talked some sense into them, you know? I mean, I looked at them. They looked like 18 years old, and they arrived from somewhere and thinking they're going to make it in Hollywood. But I'm thinking they're like two lambs lost in the field where all the wolves are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long would they last in this town? It'll eat them up alive.
I mean, L.A., well, that's the best part about L.A. is like, I mean, not the best, but I mean, it pretty much, it weeds those people out because like if you're dumb enough to do something like that, like you're not ready for this town, you're going to get caught up, you know what I mean? Or you'll learn quick, like hopefully it doesn't take something bad happening.
Right.
But I wouldn't do that anywhere, let alone L.A., you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But I guess, you know.
You wouldn't do Airbnb?
No. I mean, like, I wouldn't, but like, they weren't doing it on purpose is what you were saying, right?
No,
okay,
no,
good.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful.
Yeah, you know.
At least they were smart enough to get out, to know that, like, recognize that wasn't a good situation.
Right,
you know?
Right. But I look at them and they're so innocent and I'm just feeling so bad because, I mean, they're just going to be on the streets for 5 minutes. Somebody's going to, like, attack them or something. It's just that bad.
Yeah, it happens to all of us.
Yeah, you know, so that's what the nation's talking about these days. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, we were talking about sex trafficking and everything when we had the guest here the other day,
mm-hmm.
who was held against her will. Yeah, against her will. And so they just busted another ring And again, they're shocking us with the ages of the kids, 5-year-old girls, 3-month-old babies, you know, and this is beyond like the comprehension of a human being. Mm-hmm. I can't comprehend this, you know, and then selling kids, you know, for like $200. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and they're saying that, you know, so you wonder where did they find and get those kids, right? Mm-hmm. But they're saying often it's like a family friend or a relative or something. You know?
Oh, wow.
People that have access to the kids, you know. So that's scary as hell. But they broke a ring, I guess. Some 120 people were arrested, and 82 juveniles were rescued.
Where?
Where did this happen? It's probably nationwide or something, you know.
Oh, wow.
They're not saying. But, yeah, Operation Cross Country, they call it. So, yeah, usually these things are not local anyway. You know, it's through the internet and... Mm-hmm. But, my God, man, the thing that people can take, can stoop that low, you know. And like we've talked about, you know, it's that, I think, attitude of not caring about other people, about other lives, you know. It's so it doesn't matter. And every person is a life, you know. It's years of experience, of memories, of all that. And you just extinguish everything, and then you destroy their childhood and the rest of their lives, because this destroys a soul, you know. I mean, it's not like... and they're saying it's a public health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that and be careful, you know. But the scary thing is that there's a market for it. That's why they do it.
Yeah.
That's a scary part.
Have you seen that movie Taken?
No,
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
You never saw that movie?
No, because I don't want to watch daughters get kidnapped.
It's great. It's really good.
Yeah.
But it's you would want to watch it because Liam Neeson's like the hero dad. Like, that would be you. You have to watch Taken. You have to. It's epic.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to, because it makes you, like, you don't want to watch that, but you want to watch a dad beat someone's ass,
right.
More so, right?
Right?
So you have to watch it. It's so good. Watch Taken. Watch it with
okay,
your daughter.
I'll watch it.
It's a good father-daughter movie.
Oh, my God.
Happy Father's Day. We're going to go see Taken.
Yeah, right.
You know what my dad did for Father's Day one year? He took me to see Traffic.
Really?
The movie about sex trafficking.
Yeah.
Into the movie theater. I don't know what he was thinking. Like, was it more of like, is this, we're going to have a bonding moment? Or is it like, I'm going to teach you about some shit? Or was it like a scare tactic, you know? Like, or maybe it was just all wrapped in one because my dad was a lawyer. So like all bonding situations were scare tactics. You know what I mean? Like, we're bonding, but I'm also scaring the shit out of you. So you do the right thing, you know? That's hilarious. I'm going to write that down. That's so funny and true.
I know. Oh, well, you know, I mean, things happen and we laugh, but this is a sad story.
It is true.
And I don't want to talk about it too much. At any rate, beautiful Friday in L.A. It's actually chilly outside, you know. Last night was cold. I had to wear a jacket. And,
it's windy, too.
Is it windy?
Yeah, it was. It's been a little bit windy. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. But all in all, you know, we can't complain. L.A. is the place to live, and that's what I keep saying. Everybody moves here, so maybe there's something magical about it. At any rate, we're joined by a guest this morning in the studio, and we're very excited to invite Taja Simpson to the show. Thank you for coming, Taja.
Yes, thank you guys for
welcome.
Having me.
Of course. Yeah. Do you want us to mention the V in your middle name too? Taja V Simpson?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yes.
Okay.
You have to have the V.
Okay, so we'll call you Taja V?
I love that. That's what my friends call me, Taja V.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Where did you grow up, Taja?
In Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Oh, really?
I'm originally from The Boot, and I'm proud. That's my little song. I'm
hey,
from
hey.
The Boot, and I'm proud.
Yeah.
I like to say, yeah, but born and raised. Went to high school, college there.
Really?
So I'm from the real L.A.
Yeah, right? The real L.A. There you go. Where did you go to college?
McNeese State in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
That's where, like, Joe Dumars went. That's our claim to fame.
Really? Now, where's Lake Charles? What is it near?
It's southwest Louisiana, so it's about 45 minutes or an hour from Baton Rouge and 3 hours from New Orleans.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is it a big state?
Olivia's Louisiana? From... Louisiana.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She's there right now. That's why she wasn't here yesterday.
Oh. Is it a big state, Louisiana?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty... okay, so 3 hours is quite a drive.
I've always wanted to go there.
You've never been to Louisiana?
No, Rachel. I'm not. I know. I'm just...
Not even New Orleans, Mardi Gras, the food?
My mom...
Not had that experience.
Listen, as a kid, my mom went with my aunts to New Orleans. I know I can't say it properly. Because my mom is from... She was born in New York, but raised in Savannah. So okay. She's from the South. And they came back with beads. And like I didn't that's where I learned, you know, but I grew up in Vegas, so I was like, yeah, of course. Take our tops off for cool things.
This is nothing. This isn't normal. Duh.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, but like since then I was like, this is so cool, you know? Right, like right. I need to go, but I haven't. I'll find a reason.
We have to find a reason to get you there.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll book you on a comedy show.
That's
there,
what I'm
and
saying.
You will be there.
As long as there's food though.
Oh, absolutely.
I need to yeah.
You have to have the whole cultural experience.
I want everything.
Absolutely.
I need it. Will you come?
Absolutely.
Okay, you be my tour guide.
Etouffee, boudin.
We'll do it.
Beignets.
I'm going to come back speaking a different language.
I might not come back.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Stay.
There you go. You'll stay.
We'll
there.
Be broadcasting from there.
Right.
I'm going to gain 20 pounds just so I can, you know.
Most people do.
It's fine.
Really?
Totally.
You know
okay
what they say?
That.
Welcome.
Perfect.
Oh, well, and I'm not going there. I don't need extra 20 pounds. This is cool. Is that like a bayou area where you live? Do they have a lot of swamps? And
we are
like
known
that?
For the bayou.
Really?
Absolutely. A lot of swamps around.
Yeah.
A little beach. Is that what they call it somewhat? But
yeah.
No. It's
do you ever
big
take
swamp.
Those boats that go in the...
Like the airboats?
Yeah,
like
the airboats. Yeah.
Like on Waterboy, the
right.
movie. I know they exist, but no, I've never quite experienced that in Louisiana, but they do exist for sure.
Right.
I grew up in more of like city. Uh-huh. My city's a little bit bigger than some of the surrounding areas, but I mean, bigger, when I say that, I mean like 80,000, 90,000 people.
Yeah.
That's so really big. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's very big, right?
Bigger than, you know, some of the smaller cities like Vidalia and Abbeville. And
yeah.
That's like 10.
So what was your childhood like? Do you have siblings?
I do. I have two sisters.
Uh-huh.
I'm the baby, so that means I'm the favorite.
Yep.
Quite
oh,
naturally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hey, mom and dad.
Really? Aren't the babies usually the favorite? I don't know.
I think so.
I think it's either, yeah, it's either the first, it's definitely never the middle.
It's never the middle.
Never the middle. That's not true. In my family, I think they love me the most.
Really? Are you the middle child?
No, I'm the oldest. I'm saying my brother.
Is he the favorite?
I think he's the
There's
favorite.
Always an exception, though.
Yeah.
There's always the exception.
Yeah.
And the exception is usually when the oldest and the youngest just like fucked off. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're
right.
Like, okay, we had, you know. It skips
one
generation, you know. It
yeah,
skips siblings.
I didn't fuck off, but I fucked up, you
yeah.
know. So there you go.
You know, some type of you did something with the F
well,
word,
I,
you know.
Yeah, well, I did. I divorced twice and stuff. My life is not as stable as my brother's, you know.
The middle one.
Yeah. So maybe that's
so maybe
why.
Maybe he is
know.
The favorite.
Yeah,
he is. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
We gotta give middle. You know, some middle people need. You know,
attention
need,
and love,
they
right?
They just, you know, they need to be the cream of the crop of the
absolutely.
Middle child. You know, they
right.
got to represent.
Are you the baby too?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
But the thing is, Becca, my sister, she's 5 years younger than me. She's a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of like she's like older. People think we're twins, which I'm like, yes. But people think
right.
she's like the older child. And
yeah,
I'm like
right?
kind of like little
sister
trapped
in older. Because everybody thinks you're a teenager when they look at you. You look so young,
totally.
You know?
That is the nicest thing you've ever said
really?
To me. Yeah.
Okay.
She's like, I love you
I've
so much.
I've said it before.
I know.
No, but it's true. People go, why?
But she's the baby. It's not that she's the favorite, but like she went down more the appropriate path, I think.
She's an attorney. She's
yeah.
more stable.
Mm-hmm.
Only
creator.
Appropriate according to your parents.
Exactly.
Right.
In their eyes, yeah,
right.
for sure.
Right.
For sure.
But that's okay. We don't always have to be the favorite with our parents, you know? I mean, we can be just like... we
it's
can
not
still
about
love
being
them,
the yeah,
love
yeah,
us,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah, yeah,
know,
yeah.
Whatever we do.
Because
you're
going to be somebody's favorite somewhere.
At some point,
yeah,
you
yeah.
hope, right?
Yeah.
You some
hope
point, yes.
people like
But my
you.
Childhood was good growing up. Because I had older sisters, I learned from all of their mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So my mom would call me her little sponge because I would absorb all of the wrong and be like, mm-hmm. I'm never doing that.
Yeah.
Because
really?
I would see
so
them
cool.
get in trouble and I'd be like, why don't they just listen?
Yeah.
I remember I was like 7 or something and I told my sister, you're so stupid. Listen. Like she said, don't do that. You'll get in trouble.
That's
But you did that. I don't understand. Understand. So that's why
I wonder how much my life would have been different because I'm a quick learner,
uh-huh.
you know, if
mm-hmm.
I wasn't the firstborn, but there's sure shit I would never have wanted to be. I would have been the worst middle child. I really would have. I know. I feel it. But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's so true. My sister learned real quick. She
yeah.
was like, mm-mm. She became their like little like help her, you know?
Right.
Well, that's how it works, you know. Sometimes that's the way the dominoes fall, the chips fall. But at any rate, I was going to say that the birth order in families is very important, you know, and they say that, I mean, I've read books on this and how your birth order sometimes contributes to your personality, to your character, to how you behave, you know, and maybe because of expectations from your parents or whatever, you know. But so going back to this, you were the baby, you were the favorite, you were being babied. Okay, that's good. So what were your early passions? I mean, you're an actress now. Did you discover that a long time ago that this is what you wanted to do?
Not that this is what I wanted to do, but I discovered acting when I was a young, when I was a really young kid. Like I would do watch movies and recite them and learn all the lines and then like perform it like every day.
Wow.
My favorite movie growing up was randomly Barry Gordon's The Last Dragon. Like with Show Nuff, you remember that? And Timac and Vanity. And I don't know why that movie spoke to me when I was a kid, but it did. And I know every single line. Like, who's the master? Show Nuff. Like the whole thing. I still know it, but we would just watch movies and act them out. But growing up in a small town, there was no place to like cultivate that skill set.
Right.
So I just, it was just a hobby. It was just fun. Yeah. I always wanted to be an attorney.
Oh, really?
Growing up, I was like, oh, I'm going to be an attorney. All my friends would be like,
did you go
to
college for pre-law and stuff?
I did not. It wasn't until I went to college for political science, and that was analytical and boring as hell.
Right.
And I was like, so this isn't for me.
Well, they say acting and being an attorney, you use a lot of the same skill set, like because both my parents were trial attorneys.
So you have to perform.
Well, you have to perform. You have to tell a story. You have to be dramatic. You have to play into people's emotions.
Totally.
I mean, you set up a scene almost. You recreate
That's
the
true,
scene
right?
of the crime.
No, I've never thought of it that way. Yeah.
So you have to be good at that, right? So, yeah, so there's quotes on it, too. I forget my dad said something about it, too, but it's very true. You have to, it's interesting
so
to see.
So you really got off the beacon path. Everyone's an attorney but you. Rachel.
At least she can feel safe. She'll be protected.
I know. I feel like, exactly. Like, it's true. My life is just one giant Law and Order episode. It just never ends, you know?
Yeah.
That is so great.
Yeah. And she likes to brag that her mom sent OJ to prison.
Oh, yeah. My mom is a famous judge. She put OJ Simpson in prison.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Have you heard of him? He's a killer athlete.
I think I have, yeah. His last name kind of resembles mine.
Are you guys? Yeah. I'm like, do people ask if you're related?
They used to when like the trial was up, and I'm like,
dude.
No, I'm related to Bart.
Bart Simpson.
Just Homer and Bart and Marge. I'll go with that one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was like, no, I'm never. I would get asked, just like you get asked, if you're, are you going to be a lawyer? I'm like, no. I'm not going to be a
lawyer.
No, I don't want this life ever.
So instead, you're super funny, and that's way better.
You. Yeah, you know? It's so much better. God.
I love that.
So, but what got you to political science? Why were you interested in that in the beginning?
Well, interesting enough, I went to the University of New Orleans, and they didn't have any other like degree that really spoke to me at the time, and I felt like that was something that would be good to be an attorney because it would be something broad and blah blah blah, but like I said, it was so analytical and boring, and it just completely did not match my personality, and I was like, what am I gonna do? So then I moved back home, and that's when I went back to McNeese State because I graduated high school at like 16, a year early.
Really?
Yeah. So my parents were like, well, you gotta stay home a year and you got to go to the local university before we'd send you off. So that'd be like my senior year. And I was like, okay. So I just took general studies. And then I was like, I'm off. I'm in New Orleans. And I'm going to do poli-sci. And then I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So then I changed to mass communication, which was better fitting for me since I am a storyteller because it was news and things like that. And I worked for NBC and Fox affiliates there locally. And then
what did you do for them?
Oh, reporting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, reporting.
Oh.
And so that was a lot of fun. But then I couldn't, like, get a full-time job because I didn't have enough experience. So it was a lot of interning and things like that and paid internships. And that's great. But I'm like, yeah, but I want my own thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you don't have enough experience. And I was like, screw you.
Yeah.
So then I moved to Houston. And then finally I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to try my hand at acting. And so Houston is a much larger, you know, major market city than little old Lake Charles, Louisiana.
That's true.
And I enrolled myself in some acting classes. And then I did really well. And I won all these awards. And I was like, maybe there's something to this.
Yeah.
And then I moved to L.A. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was a communications major. I was wanted to be a TV news reporter, but then I like realized that the news wasn't as you didn't have as much, like, I was just lived in this fantasy world, like, the reporters really get control over the story.
And but you they, do not. You
know, no, not at all. And then right. you start in a small town like that, mm-hmm. reporting on, like, animal mm-hmm. stories, you know, things that right. don't matter. And to get to that, it's like, so it takes years. I mean, mm-hmm. And you have to start in these, and they send you off to, like, Kentucky, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's true. It's like, that's. It's cool. Wow. Yeah, I can relate to that.
So, so you went to Houston. Does it have a reputation for entertainment and things like that?
Not so much back then, but it was the only place I knew where to go that was bigger than where I was from.
I see. And you didn't want to go as far as Hollywood yet.
No, I, at the time, because it was like, well, let me just kind of see. Yeah, and then right. once I did well, it was like, okay, I want to go. But what's interesting, though, is that I came to L.A. at 7 when I was came to Disneyland. And when I came here, I was like, this is where I want to live. Like, I totally knew. This, so it was always a stepping stone to get back to L.A. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know when or how, but it was like, this is where I'm going to live.
That's yeah. cool.
So,
yeah.
so when I moved back, I was like, from L.A. to L.A., baby. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. So, and how long have you been here already?
14 years.
14 years.
Yeah, I moved,
so
when, I was
definitely
three.
Home
for I moved you. When I was three.
I thought she was like 16, 17.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. But no, that's cool. You are beautiful and everything.
Thank you.
I stunning.
I could never guess her age. She looks very young too. You
we're
know?
Not going to.
We're not going yeah. to. Thanks so much, Rachel.
Right. But you know what's funny? I told you that you look very young.
Thank
My
you.
Daughter's like that too.
She's very
27,
young looking.
She's 27. She looks 16, you know?
She'll look like that for a long time.
For her whole life. I know. Yeah. She has a cousin like that also, whom I met when she was 16. She's probably in her 40s now. She still looks the same.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. Yeah, right?
So oh, she's having.
It's funny.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's just you're born that way, I guess. I don't
good
know.
Good genes.
Good genes.
Yeah, good genes. Young genes. But so at any rate, so you finally moved to L.A. Did you move on your own?
I did. I drove down in my car with my mom, and we drove for 2 days. And when I got here, and I remember seeing, like, we call it I-10 from the South. But then you move to L.A., it's called the 10. Mm-hmm. So I was like, change that vernacular. Got to sound like I blend.
Yeah.
But I saw, you know, Los Angeles and was like, ah. And I just, this feeling of energy just came over me because it was like, I made it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is here. That was my first level of, like, making
Yeah.
it,
so you felt a certain sense of you're going to make it here, right?
Absolutely.
That's good. You see, it's like you got to come with this confidence and everything.
Well, you got to believe in yourself at some point, because you get so much rejection in this business. You got to know that... You
the
can
right,
do it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, yeah. for sure.
So at that time, did you feel you were acting well enough to look for jobs in LA?
I did. So after that, I went to this agent workshop, and I found out later that out of 53 people who auditioned for him, I was the only one that he wanted to sign.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, great. So I took my meeting and like, yeah, I want to sign. I'd been here like 3 months. Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so I started going out on pilot auditions and I started doing all this stuff. And I think it was very surreal. I would get super nervous in the room, though.
Yeah, right?
Sometimes I'd be good and comfortable. Other times I'm like, oh, my God, this is the pilot. Oh, my God, can I book this? You know, all of that energy's in your head. And so I had to learn that age-old saying in the business. It says, once you stop caring, you'll book.
Really?
Yeah, we always hear that as an actor. Like, once you stop caring, you'll book. And I'm like, what does that mean? I care so much. This is my passion. It's what I want to do. And that just means, you got to put in the work to be great. Yeah. Exactly. But you have to be comfortable in your own skin and not care so much about
And the right projects will be for you. You know what I mean? And it will come to you. Yeah.
Totally.
That's cool. So it took getting a good agent in order to be able to get a shot at all these roles,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So how do you find a good agent? If someone comes here... What are the what are the requirements really that you would expect from an agent so they can actually place you?
The first thing is you need to have tape on yourself. Like if you're coming from a small town or anywhere else and you need some type of reel or something to show what you can do.
Right.
Because it's more than just your headshot.
Right.
It's like, we see your look and we can always get you better headshots if they're not the best, but we need to see what you can do.
Yeah.
So that's number one. That's the one thing I would tell everyone when they come here is, You need to film a scene, whether it's, I believe different playhouses here or acting, teachers here. They will have you shoot scenes from movies or TV shows or whatever.
Right.
Scenes that match your type. And that's another thing about an actor. You have to know who you are and know your type, because you'll have people that's like, oh, I love this monologue that Meryl Streep did, but you're like 25 and she's talking about her children. And like that's a great monologue, but that doesn't work for you.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like you got to know your type, people. But that's the one thing I would say. That way you can show that to them so they can see. Because the first thing they want to know is, well, what can you do?
Right.
What have you done? Nothing.
They don't want to hear promises. They want to hear
actually.
They want
to see. They got to see what you can actually do.
Yeah, and it makes sense, you know, because the thing is, you have a tight schedule. You're casting a movie and everything. Mm-hmm. You don't want to start like, you know, dealing with like rookies or something. You know, you want to know, hey, whoever I picked, this is what they can do, you mm-hmm. know? And yeah, I can totally see that. So I guess they should put together a reel, even if it's like stuff they do for free, and don't worry about making money Absolutely. In the beginning, right?
Absolutely.
You know what somebody told me, and I'm repeating this, is Ron Howard said.
My favorite director.
Really?
Mm-hmm, love him.
So he said to someone I know, I don't mm-hmm. know how it all happened, but he told him, he said, Hollywood is like a huge line of people, mm-hmm. okay? And every new person that comes to town gets in the end of the line, and everybody's waiting for the same parts. Sometimes people will just leave the line and move on, and you keep getting new people all the time, but you gotta wait your turn.
Man.
Right?
So good. That's the 10-year rule. They say right? you have to put in 10,000 hours.
Really?
Which...
Totally oh, like to be an expert in something.
Right, or yeah. for, you know, acting as well. So it makes sense to his analogy because it's like, yeah. well,
they say the same thing
line.
About comedy, too.
You're right. Yeah. yeah. Wait your turn.
It's all
same
that competition,
it's
you
all
know.
Competition.
And, you know, we were talking to some people about, like, starting a dispensary, for example. Remember, they're like, take a number, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many people already in it. Mm-hmm. You're coming in new. Wait your turn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's mm-hmm. people already arrived here way before you.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. But you're fortunate enough because someone discovered your talent early on mm-hmm. And so forth. So that agent started placing you in roles and stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I think they started placing. I mean, I've done all of that, but it was all about the booking. You know, it's about the experience. Oftentimes, it's not just your talent. It's the level of trust that the casting director can have in you. So there's plenty of times I would see casting like 4 or 5 times before I'd even book something because I'm new. A, B, they don't know me. I don't have a lot of tape on myself yet. So they're like, let me make sure you're consistent because if I put my seal of approval and stamp you and say, this is the girl to hire.
That's on them.
And I get hired. Exactly. Wow. So you have to always make sure you are prepared and great because you want to make your producers and your casting look good.
I keep hearing the same. It's the same. Everyone says this. Successful people say the same thing. It's just like almost different variations. Right. Like my friend Dante is a really funny comedian. We'll get him on one time. He said the same thing. He's like, you're likable. You're going to be successful, but you have to be prepared for totally. When that moment, like when opportunity meets preparation, you know, it's all about luck and timing, but mm-hmm. you have to be prepared, you
Absolutely.
Know? So it's
true. That's the worst thing mm-hmm. you'd ever want to do is get an opportunity and then you're not ready.
Yeah.
Right.
Because guess what happens? You get back to the end of the line.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a long way.
Or you're not allowed back in line.
You know?
They're like, you can come back in like a year and get back in line.
That part. Yeah.
But you know, people in entertainment, I feel, are very brave because you are still, even though there's that huge line, that huge competition, millions of people going for the same roles, it's still, you know, people still do it. You know, they still mm-hmm. believe in themselves and they do it. And you're a good example of that. So
passion and hope.
Right.
That's what makes
and
you
grit.
Stay in the line. And grit. Ooh.
Yeah.
Fist bump.
So you started getting all these roles and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would imagine smaller roles in the beginning and
yes.
stuff. Did you feel you had a turning point in your career where you got something and that like shot you to the big time?
Absolutely. For me, it was Grey's Anatomy. When I booked a guest spot on that one, it was emotional because I remember living in like a 4-bedroom apartment with like 4 other girls and, you know, that's all I could afford at the time, paying like $400 a month, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting on the floor in my room. I think I just moved in, didn't even have a bed yet, but I had a TV and I'm waiting for the bed to come. And Grey's Anatomy had been promoting
magic.
It. Right? And then I'm sitting there watching it like, oh man, this is a great show. I love it. And the whole storyline of the pilot was awesome. And I remember saying there like, man, I can't wait to be on that show. I'm going to be on that show. So once I finally booked enough co-stars and had enough, you know, reputation that my agent and manager could then be like, this is the girl. Sometimes it's even hard to get in a room. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's hard to even get in a room. You know what I mean? And so once I was able to secure that audition, I was so ready. But when I booked it and I got on set with all of the leads of the show, it was just like, yeah, this is
That's it. What's up.
This is what's up.
Wow.
So it was definitely one of those like emotional moments where I was like, yeah, hard work pays off.
So you actually made it into the show?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I played the character Samantha Calder, who, if you watch the show, all the Grey's Anatomy fans out there, I was the sick patient who caused Meredith and Christina's relationship to kind of spiral out. Ah. It was all about my storyline with this character. So it was great. Received a lot of press from it. People are like, oh my God, like Grey's Anatomy has like a cult following.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll do an interview about
my mom's part of the cult.
Is she? Oh, yeah. I am too. Yeah. You know, it wasn't on yesterday, so it'll be back next week.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I've never watched
one episode.
No,
I know.
Never watched it. Well,
really?
I don't watch a lot of TV. But Grey's Anatomy is an old show that came back. Is that what it is?
No, it's been on. They've already celebrated 300 episodes.
Really?
No, it's a Shondaland show, like Shonda Rhimes. Yeah. So that one, Scandal, How to Get Away. You know, these are her shows. But that was the first one that like broke her career.
Yeah, for real. It's a huge show. I don't watch doctor or lawyer shows. Yeah. I'm like a comedy or like trashy route. I have to zone out. I can't watch good shows. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I have to watch shitty shows.
Nothing serious. I'll watch The Simpsons or something.
Right.
You know?
That's funny.
For those of you joining us, we're talking to actress Taja V. Simpson. And you moved here from Louisiana. Now you're here and everything. So you got on Grey's Anatomy. And then what? Did the roles start coming
in? Yeah,
and
then they started coming. I booked a recurring role in The Bold and the Beautiful. That's one of the soaps that's still on one of the big four.
Uh-huh.
And from there...
Now, that's a good gig, right? I mean, it's a regular gig, right?
It's a definitely a learning experience because they move super fast. You have a lot of dialogue and a very limited amount of time. And you get to see how these actors work. Like Heather Tom, I worked closely with her because I was her assistant. I played Adele in the show. And she was just, I grew up watching her on The Young and the Restless when she was Victoria.
I'm watching
her on the show and I'm like, you are amazing to see how you can really use your instrument. Like it'll be like, okay, here's some changes. And she's like, okay, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, got it. And action, and she's in tears. I'm like, what? Okay. And I'm like, oh, hi, here's your file. I'm looking at her like, what?
Wow.
Like, she was great.
Yeah. So I would imagine it's not as easy as it looks. I mean, if you have to memorize all these lines, and that's a lot of, there's a lot of dialogue in soap operas, right?
Totally.
That's mostly what it is.
Absolutely.
Maybe. So, and how long did you do that for?
For 2.5 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And was it like an everyday kind of thing?
It was recurring, so it would depend. Sometimes it would be a few times a week, sometimes it's once a week. It just would depend on the storyline and how they write it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So, now these actors in soap operas, I mean, they're on them for like decades, right?
Oh my gosh, their entire life, yeah.
Right, so
they you know, when you think about it, depending on what the person wants, it's kind of the ideal job. You work 9 to 5, you know what I mean? Like, you're good. The show, I think your call time will be early, like 7, and you get in for hair and makeup, and then at 9 o'clock, they give you the rundown. They tell you all the things in the order where we're going to be shooting, and then at 10 o'clock, you go,
and
you're shooting.
Cool. So not a lot of uncertainty.
No. Everything's there. You know exactly what you're doing.
Wow.
That's cool.
Very cool. Well, maybe that's the kind of job I need.
I don't know, Rachel. I
would be on a weed soap opera. I'd call it a dope opera. But we start shooting at 4:20 every day.
That's good.
You know?
Look at you. Clever.
Yeah. We reverse it.
Did you catch the new show Disjointed with Kathy Bates?
I haven't watched an episode.
I watched,
you know,
episode,
like doctors really can't
funny.
Watch doctor shows.
Right.
I work in the cannabis industry, so.
But it's a funny show. But
no, I've heard good stuff about it. I like all the actors on it because a lot of them are comics and stuff. So anything that we can have out there to.
And she's like a weed advocate, isn't she?
Yeah,
in
Kathy
real
Bates,
life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. True story. So
very cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
So So I watched an episode. I'm like, yeah, this is funny. You know, I mean, it takes you back to the old sitcoms with the laugh track
and stuff. Right.
Love it.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see it too.
Yeah, it's pretty
love
cool.
It.
It's on Netflix, I believe. And then there's another one that apparently is very popular. It's called The Ranch. Have you heard of that one with Ashton Kutcher, Sam Elliott?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, you know, and it's really funny too.
Really?
Yeah. So I watched the first one there. And that was pretty cool. But yeah, so now they have, I think with all these new streaming services, you have a lot more opportunity.
I just can't wait to start going on weed castings. You know what I mean? Like find someone who not only can do the part, but also can, like, you know, do the part. You know what I mean? Like,
not have to smoke.
Character, method acting,
how
you know?
That ad read? Must be able to.
Must be able to smoke weed on camera and still perform lines. You know what I mean? Like,
be full
show up, show up on time. Not eat all the craft services, right. You know?
Exactly.
Like,
be fully functional and stay, right. And stay in shape. Right. You know?
Keep eyes open.
Right. Wow, this is cool. So, well, this is great. So you moved on in your career and everything. Mm-hmm. And now currently, so you've been in movies as well, right? Mm-hmm. Not just television. Mm-hmm. What are some of the films you were in?
Well, the big one I have to start with today. It actually comes out is Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
Can yes. I just say, yes. when I first saw Diary uh-huh. of a Mad Black Woman, I was 17 years old, mm-hmm. and it changed my life.
Really?
I had never, because I had obviously we've seen Tyler Perry, like he did that was Eddie Murphy, but I had seen that style where like people play different characters, like one person
oh, yeah,
plays,
like clumps
but when the Eddie way Murphy. He did it. Was so brilliant mm-hmm. that you forget that Madea is him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just that it was so empowering, that story, and to take a story that's so dark and make a comedy out of it. Mm-hmm. It is so well. If you've never seen this movie, Diary of a Mad Black Woman is probably one of my favorite Tyler Perry movies.
Nice.
You know? But yeah, he's brilliant. He's yeah. so smart. That's so cool to work. How is it working with him?
Oh my gosh, yeah. He is. That's the exact word I use to describe him. Is brilliant.
Yeah.
Because he plays, as we know, three different roles. He's Madea, he's Brian, and he's Joe. And he has to remember all the lines for all of them, and then direct it, and he wrote it, and he's producing it. So he's wearing all these hats. So that's a lot of hats.
It mm. really is, and you have to go to. Each separate role,
totally,
and knowing the two separate people, you mm-hmm. can't start, you know, behaving the same with the three characters,
exactly.
you know. So
exactly.
you really have to think them out and flesh them out before you actually even start, you know, acting.
Absolutely. The funniest part for me was when he was Madea, and then. Because sometimes, you know, as Tyler Perry, he will do the Madea voice. He'll just go
yeah.
into it and everybody will start laughing. But to be the Madea character doing the Tyler Perry voice yeah. is a little jarring. Like, whoa.
Okay. Right.
And he's like, all right, action.
Right.
You know, hello. And then, you know, hide
so
his ear.
So he's dressed like her.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want a Madea in my life.
Totally.
That character will transcend. Like, Madea will outlive us all.
Right.
Yeah, right?
Such a good character. Like. Oh, such the greatest.
Yeah.
Such a good character.
So that's the latest Madea film, Tyler Perry's Boo 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes out tonight.
Today, October
today.
20th.
Yes.
Congratulations.
And
that's awesome.
Thank you.
Just in time for Halloween, right?
Just in time for Halloween.
And Madea Halloween is the mm-hmm. name of the movie.
Yep.
Wow. So when did you guys film this? Earlier this year?
Earlier this year. Yep, in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It was a really quick turnaround. I booked it like on a Wednesday and I left on a Friday and
wow.
we shot it for 5 days.
That's uh-huh. sick.
Yeah.
The entertainment industry really is so quick. Cool. Like, in one day, your life could change.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the
so
funny
cool.
thing is, I'd auditioned for Tyler Perry 7 times prior to that. And 7 is the number of completion, and 8 is the number of new beginning.
Yes.
Now, I didn't realize it had been 7 times when I auditioned for him and booked it. But when I went back and looked at everything, I was like, wow, it's been 7 other TV shows or films
yeah.
and things that I'd auditioned for. So it was only befitting that I get the 8th one. But I was so excited because... It was one of those moments where I was going through a lot in my personal life and I didn't care that
yeah,
part, you
yeah.
know? And it was just like, you know what?
How that was like a blessing. Like, how
totally.
Validating, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's so cool.
So I had to push through all of this like dark space I was in. And I was like, you know what? I'm about to go. I'm about to kill it. Whatever. I'm just about to go in there and do it.
That's why I can understand how the industry can be so vicious for people who just like, you have to have a thick skin. You
totally.
Have to believe in yourself. That's mm-hmm. the first step. Because mm-hmm. if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to make it.
Right. You're not.
So,
yeah,
because like,
up.
I don't give a beep if I don't, you know,
yeah.
book. Like, I've just started going on casting. So I'm new to the, you know, I'm new to this whole
mm-hmm.
in talent side of it. Cause I used to be in the marketing side and like communicating, you know, whatever.
Right.
So to me, it's like, even just getting to an audition is building my muscle to prepare me for that one that I do get,
absolutely.
You know? So it's cool. It's a cool journey. It's a cool experience.
It's all exactly. And it's all a part of the process. You know, whenever I coach actors as well, and I come from I played sports my whole life. So a lot of times I'll use like athletic analogies, but in order to prepare for the game, to get to the big game, guess what? You got to do, if you're a basketball player, you got to do the drills.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to dribble the ball. You got to know how not to travel with the ball. You got to know how to shoot the ball. You got to know
yeah.
how to do your opponent. You got to
yeah.
know all your plays. Like, you have to be prepared. So when you and your team make it to, you know, the big leagues, or you make it to, you know, the finals, you're prepared. So it's preparation meets the opportunity. Same thing with acting. So that's a beautiful analogy, Rachel, because when you're on the way in a car, all of that is your preparation.
Right.
When you're at home going over your lines, when you're saying them to yourself in the mirror, or if you record yourself, or, you know, use a voice recorder. And then when you're driving, you're doing it in your head. And then when you get there, you get ready. All of those things is the preparation that you have to do to make sure you're prepared to get in the room.
Because
what you don't want to do is the first time you actually really get up and act it out is the first time you're in the room in front of a casting director. You want to be your absolute best at that moment.
Right. Yeah. You have to be to have you have to have the experience already. Mm-hmm. So when you're there, you're a pro, you know.
Right, exactly.
Because that's what they need, you know. I mean, people don't understand, you know. It's like, oh, I get rejected all the time. I get turned down and all this. But the thing is, first of all, you're not going to make every role out there because they look for specific things.
Mm-hmm.
They look for a specific look.
Right.
They look for a specific personality, temperament, something like that. So you can't possibly please everybody. You're not going to fill all the roles. And
but also how cool that you auditioned for him 7 times.
Right.
And then
and you haven't given
and then
up,
Matt,
you know?
Not only that, but like there was a role. There was a Tyler Perry role for you sitting there, you know, eventually.
Exactly.
That's so cool.
And that's exactly what the that's exactly what the executive producer said to me when I flew to Atlanta. He said, you know, we've been getting all of your tapes. So they've been seeing all of my work. And little did I know, I'm just like, OK, I'm going to didn't get that one. Going to try for the next one, you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, and we believe this is the role that was specifically made
like it
for
was
you.
Almost manifest, you know, like
yeah,
it was
exactly.
coming. You know, because they had you. He had you, and they had
in mind
exactly
for all this
so
time,
cool.
right? And then now
that.
He's like, "So we're really happy to welcome you to the Tyler Perry family." And I was like,
"Whoa,
thanks!" But little did you know, it's like as an actor, you're out there just doing your thing. Like, oh my God, this casting director keeps calling me in. Can she book me already? It's like you just got to keep doing your part.
Yeah. Right.
You keep doing your part, the best of your ability, in the best way that you can. It will happen.
So persistence, man.
Oh, persistence.
You, gotta, don't give up. I mean,
there's gonna be a role for a smart stoner. I feel it. I mean, that's how
persistent.
I feel. How she
with
how she felt about Jenner
it.
Exactly with Jenner is me like with Broad City. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, or just like something. I don't know something.
That's you just good. Prime yourself for that. You'll find the role, I'm sure.
Right.
Yes,
exactly.
Wow,
that's great.
Tasha V. Simpson, the movie is Tyler Perry's Boo 2, Madea Halloween, and Madea Halloween. Now, let me ask you this. What's your role in the film? What do you do there?
So I play Deborah, who is Tyler Perry's ex-wife in the film, and we have 2 kids. And we're co-parenting, but we have very different styles of co-parenting, so we butt heads all the time.
Really?
He's more of the disciplinarian, and I'm more of the let her make her own mistakes and live her own life.
Yeah.
She's 18 now, so I'm like wanting to be more of her friend, so the fun parent. So you get to see this fun, sassy character, you know, kind of come out of me. And I play a mom, obviously. So they, like, aged me up a bit. Yeah, I just want to put that out there.
A bit.
Yeah.
A lot.
She looks like the daughter.
They aged her up so much.
Right. They aged me up
That's
a
really
lot,
cool
so.
They let you let them do that.
Right? But when you think about the women in this film, like the lady who plays Bam, Cassie Davis, like the, she's a little aged up with the gray wig. Mm-hmm. And then Patrice Lovely, who plays Hattie. She plays, you know, her entire character looks totally different than what she really looks like. So I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Yep.
Did you get to watch the complete film yet?
Yes, the premiere was Monday.
That's how
the finished film. Was really happy with it. It's really funny.
Really?
You know, Tyler Perry was in town and he got up and he said, for all the critics out there, if this is something that you think will change the world and, you know, bring on world peace or something, this isn't the film. So you can start writing now if you want. He's like, but, you know, with the state of the world being what it is, he was like, this is just a fun movie that just gets your mind off of everything and just allow your mind to release. And that's what filmmaking is about. You go in there for 2.5 hours or however long, 100 minutes, and get in there. You don't think about your life
it's
and you
escapism.
Just have a good time. Thank you.
You
have a good time. And that's what it is. It's really funny. You know, I mean, Joe, I think, would probably be my favorite character. Of course, Madea, but his Joe character is hilarious in this one. Like, Joe now needs a spinoff.
Yeah.
Like, Joe needs a spinoff.
Who, what's his character, Joe?
It's Madea's brother.
Madea's brother. Was he in Diary of a Mad Black Woman?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that was her husband that was Madea's husband they lived with, right?
No, I think that's Joe.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Joe.
Hmm. Oh, wait. I remember. Yeah. Okay, I'll have to rewatch
Madea
it.
Has a husband. She's always been the single one.
Right?
With the
gun. That was exactly with the guy. That was like, who's the one? That
right.
she, they were living in
they
the house.
They were always arguing.
Like,
yeah.
That, okay.
That's her brother.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and watch. I love that. You can watch that movie, any of his movies over and over, and there's you can find new funny part. You know
totally.
What I mean? Like,
yeah, so the character is really funny, Madea, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many movies has he made with Madea so far?
Oh, I'm not sure how
like
many
four
Madea
or five.
About four or five,
right?
Easy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it seems.
But I will say, Boo is the first film, was his highest grossing film, I should say.
Really?
His Madea film about Boo was the highest grossing one. So they're really expecting this one to do good. I think it was really smart bringing in a lot of the millennials. You know, it's a lot of millennials in the film, and it brings on a completely new audience because he's already found a niche for himself with his audience, and so now he's getting the younger audience.
Ah,
and it made like $74 million the first one.
Really?
Yeah, so it was the highest grossing film out of all of his films.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, yeah.
For a movie without, like, let's say, major Hollywood stars, okay, and no special effects or anything, it probably doesn't cost very much to make, right?
Yeah.
Not compared to $74 million.
It's just so it's so well written and very well.
See, these
so
are the
good.
Movies that studios like to invest in because it's not a big gamble, and yet you can make a lot of money if it hits it big. You know,
exactly. And it's comedy, and everybody likes to laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
So now you probably feel that this is going to open up more doors for you and everything, as you have more stuff to show. Hey, I worked with Tyler Perry. I'm ready for the big league now, guys. You better take notice.
Absolutely.
Right.
And it is. It's starting that already. You know, there's different, you know, my manager and I are taking meetings now with different things because, you know, the press has already seen the film, and then the premiere was Monday, so a lot of people were invited out then. And so now once it hits today, that's exactly what I'm expecting. I'm just going to manifest that and put that out into the world.
Oh, hell yes.
Wow. And you'll be the huge star. And don't forget us.
And then we'll come back. No, absolutely. I'll be here like, remember my first big film, guys?
Well, we believed in you, and we wanted you to be on the show.
Exactly.
So thank you,
this
guys.
This is cool. Taja V. Simpson, tell people how they can find you, how they can contact you, social media, things like that.
Absolutely. TajaVSimpson.com. Social media on Instagram, Snapchat, as well as Twitter is at Taja V. Simpson. And Facebook is The Taja V. Simpson. So that's TajaVSimpson.
Right. And go on Instagram and you'll see how beautiful she is. And go to the movie and see how talented she is.
Yay.
Now that I know, this is going to be my first Madea movie.
Okay.
But
thank
I'm definitely going to go see it.
Because
now
it.
I know you, you know. I want to see you work and
absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Very cool. Well, Taja, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What's in the future for you now? I mean, do you have anything coming up that you know about?
I do, that I'm super passionate about. So a friend of mine named Sabrina Revell, who's also an actor, she and I wrote a book called Cracking the Acting Code. And it's a practical step-by-step guide to becoming a professional actor. So a lot of the things that I spoke about today, a lot of those things are in the book and a bunch of other stuff as well. So that will be available for pre-order November 1st.
Nice.
And super excited. That's going to be coming out here at the end of the year. When I moved here, I knew nothing. I knew no one.
But now you're an authority.
I've learned so much. So this is, for me, our way of like giving back, being like, hey, get the book and you will literally have everything you need to know on how to get started.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us. Much success to you.
Thank you so much.
You're very talented, and what an inspiring story. You know what I mean?
Thank you so much.
You came from a small town. Mm-hmm. You've made it here, and you found your place here, and we wish you continued success.
Yes.
You know?
Thank you.
Our hats off to you.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Of course.
Rachel, thank you.
Always.
Apparently, we will not see you in the picture with Tasha.
I can't
pass up on that.
I would love to just you. Oh God, I don't know. We'll see about. We have to do several shoots.
No pressure.
You know,
no pressure.
We'll figure it out.
We'll see, but you guys will get
to
see it.
We'll Photoshop me in there,
right.
Like a hot photo.
There you go. We can do that. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel exclusively on LA Talk Radio.